My guest at this time is Louisiana Republican Senator David Vitter. He is the ranking Republican on the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee, and we wanted to get his reaction on the same day the Environmental Protection Agency announced that it was about ready to implement new carbon emission standards, reducing carbon emissions in the country by 30% by the year 2030. So 30% in the next 16 years. And Senator, thanks so much for being with us.
Great to be with you, Greg. Thanks for the invite.
For those who don't follow the industry that closely, how big of a cut is 30%?
Well, it's a huge cut, and it's a huge hit on our economy because that's going to really demand much higher energy prices, and that means much slower economic growth. And we don't have that growth to begin with. I mean, Greg, as you know, the last economic report was a 0.1% growth last quarter. That's basically zero growth right now already.
Walk us through this. Why will reducing carbon emissions necessarily weaken our economy?
Well, it's pretty simple, Greg. To reduce carbon emissions like that so dramatically, we have to get rid of a lot of abundant, cheaper sources of energy right now, starting with coal and also many other fossil fuels. Those are the most efficient, the most low-cost forms of energy we have. So we're simply displacing that for higher ways of producing electricity. And so energy costs are going to go up significantly. When you do that, that's a toll on the economy. It's basically a tax on consumers and a tax on economy. So it's going to slow economic growth even more than it already is.
In looking at some recent statistics on this, four states in the United States use coal, and that coal's probably, as you mentioned, the biggest target here.
Right.
More than 80% of their electricity is generated from coal. Nine states, 60% or more. Another nine states, 40% or more, and I believe your state is one of those. So talk about what individual consumers would be looking at and how that would be translated not only to energy prices, but then the cost of transporting all sorts of other goods and services.
Sure. Well, nationwide, you went state by state to some extent. Nationwide, coal is about 40% of our country's electricity production. So it's a huge part of our mix right now, and it's one of the most cheapest forms of energy available. So we're basically, over a short period of time, putting that off the table and saying we need to do other things which are significantly more expensive. Again, that's just a tax on consumers, a tax on manufacturing. That means less activity and less job creation. We're also going to see similar impact in the transportation sector, and we're going to have higher prices, more of a tax in the transportation sector as well.
This was part of the president's cap-and-trade agenda in the first couple of years of his administration. Ultimately, that did not pass the Senate, even though it was a filibuster-proof majority in the Democratic Senate at that time. So now he's doing it basically through regulation. Congress has been bypassed yet again on something like this. So what leverage do you have here, if anything?
Well, it's very frustrating because that's been par for the course ever since Republicans took a majority in the U.S. House. The president has just ignored Congress and done everything by administrative fiat, in many cases going beyond his legitimate authority, in my opinion. That's really dangerous. It's breaking the Constitution, not living under the Constitution in significant ways. And I think it's dangerous when you have this dramatic an action plan, which can't get legislative support, even including in the Democratic majority U.S. Senate. That says a lot, but that is the situation. And it can't get support for good reason. It's costly. It hurts our economy. It hurts consumers. It hurts the poorest and most vulnerable in our economy. And what is it achieving? Less than 2% impact on carbon emissions. So as China and India and other countries do nothing in this category, we're killing our economy and having virtually no impact in terms of the worldwide issue.
The president, of course, as it says, he's an advocate of green energies, of wind, solar, and other things along those sorts of lines. If, in fact, this were to go into effect and we would see a dramatic decrease in energy production if these plants are going to meet the new carbon emission standards, what, if anything, is ready to replace that in terms of an energy source? whether it's economically and cost competitive or not?
Yeah, first of all, that sort of green, pure renewable, that is not ready to replace the majority of our energy needs right now, and it's not going to be in a decade. So what we're going to be turning to are those sources and other sources which are clearly significantly more expensive. So we're going to pay much higher prices, big hit to consumers, to families, big hit to businesses in terms of cost, and that means fewer jobs.
In terms of coal, many have said, of course, it's one of the dirtier ways to produce energy, but there's also been improvements in the technology. Where do you stand on coal right now? I know down in your neck of the country with the Gulf, there's a lot of natural gas and oil production going on. What do you see as the best way to move forward on this?
Well, look, I believe in a true all-of-the-above approach. And when you say all-of-the-above, you have to mean it, and that has to include significant parts of our energy portfolio now, like coal and oil and natural gas. And we can decrease those percentages over time, but the sort of onslaught attack on coal he's talking about is way more dramatic than can be safely done for our economy and for American workers and families.
Senator, is there going to be any other avenues here other than kind of being frustrated and pounding the table and saying this isn't the way this is supposed to work? Or will there be lawsuits? Will there be some sort of congressional action here? And I know you've mentioned that there hasn't been a ton of leverage that you have right now, but a lot of times when politicians and other leaders get frustrated with the way this administration acts, the response we get from our listeners and readers is that, well, there's got to be something that can be done. So what, if anything, can be done?
Well, certainly significant lawsuits are being filed to try to stop action, which we think is pure illegal and unconstitutional. But the most significant impact we can have is not me as a senator or businesses filing lawsuits, but all of us as voters. We're going to have a big national election this fall, and conservatives have an opportunity to take back the U.S. Senate. That would be a significant check and balance against this sort of really what now is unbridled power. And I think and hope energy prices, the very slow recovery we have, is going to be an important part of that election debate.
Senator, as always, it's great to have you with us. Thank you for your time today, sir.